Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your manifold blessings. Thank you for your goodness to us when we're people that do truly don't deserve it. God, thank you for the scripture text this morning. I pray that you'd anoint our pastor with the Holy Spirit to fill him and use him to help us to get what you want us to get today and apply it in our lives. Now, we need you, Holy Spirit, as the listeners to hear this morning too. So fill us. Do a work in our midst today. Make us better Christians for being here today. And Father, if there's somebody here today that is not a Christian, that has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room today, they would get that settled. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to talk to you about the Holy Spirit this morning. I hesitated to start these messages because Anniversary Sunday is next Sunday, so we may interrupt it. I have several messages I want to bring to you on the person and the working of the Holy Spirit. We talked to you last week about the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Hold your place in Ephesians chapter 5 and go to chapter 1 of this book and verse number 13. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive the person of the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. That takes place at salvation. It does not happen without salvation. He does not indwell the body of the unsaved. He dwells the body of the saved. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of the truth. Ephesians 1, 13. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Basically, here's what it says. When you hear the gospel and you trust Christ as your Savior, the moment you put your faith in Christ, the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, and He is the seal of your guarantee that you belong to God. And that seal, it literally means what it says, a seal, just like you stamp a document to indicate ownership. The Holy Spirit living inside of you is the proof that you are saved. That Holy Spirit, that person of the Holy Spirit, stays there, the Bible says in verse 13, until the redemption of the purchased possession. What's that? The trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise. We rise to meet the Lord in the air at the return of the Lord. He is going to seal and secure you in that salvation. That is why when you are saved, trusting Christ and Him alone for your salvation, not only are you saved at that moment, you are sealed at that moment, you are secured at that moment until Christ comes to get you. Either at death by the upper taker or by the undertaker or by Christ's return of the upper taker, one or the other one. But you are secured in that salvation. The Holy Spirit is the person, the evidence. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not an entity. He's not a thing. The Holy Spirit has His own personhood. Jesus gave that to Him in John 14, 15, and 16. He kept calling Jesus, referring to the Holy Spirit, referred to Him as He and Him. He put personhood upon Him. He is the third member of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, equal to the Father, equal to the Son, and as just as much God as God the Father and God the Son. So, are we clear? Now, the Holy Spirit also is the person of God's presence on this earth in this day and age. Jesus said in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, it is needful for me that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Jesus said, I'm going to go back to heaven. That was God's presence in that time, Christ walking this earth. Now the Holy Spirit. Now listen carefully. That Holy Spirit, that person of the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer, when you get saved and you accept Christ as your Savior, you get all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. There is no another portion of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of confusion about that, and I want to make sure we clear that up. And I have a few more messages on the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives because I want us to get this right biblically. Because here's what's happening. People are either misapplying what they consider the work of the Holy Spirit or they ignore Him completely. And ladies and gentlemen, since the Holy Spirit is the agency of God that works in our lives on this earth today, we better understand how He works. We need to know that. You need to know the Holy Spirit's working in your life. We don't need to let people who are confused and misapply things chase us away from the working agency of God in our lives on this earth. The Holy Spirit, the working of the Holy Spirit. So we talked about His presence in our life, His indwelling. That takes place at salvation. You're never going to get any more of the Holy Spirit than the day you got saved. He came to live inside of your body. He is the seal of your ownership that you belong to God. He's the security of your salvation that keeps you in that. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5 says that we are kept by the power of God, ready to be revealed at the last time. He's the sealing agency, the securing agency of our salvation, the person of the Holy Spirit. However, the work the Holy Spirit desires to do in you and through you is not finished at salvation. There is much He still desires to do. There is much that God is going to use this book, the Holy Word of God, and the working of the Holy Spirit of God in accordance with this book. There's a work God desires to do in you, and a work He desires to do through you, and a work that He desires to do with you. There are three evidences of that work: the filling of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to talk to you about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I need you to keep your Bibles open. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Very familiar verse to many, but I want you to look at it with me this morning very carefully. It says in Ephesians 5 and 18 again, please, notice, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, if being filled with the Holy Spirit was automatic, then He would not command us to do so. It must be something we seek. It must be something that we look for. It must be something that we, and if I use the expression, may not be totally theologically accurate here, something that we work toward, allowing the Holy Spirit to control us in our life. Now listen very carefully. And what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit means just that, that you allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Now listen. Some people have the idea that being filled with the Spirit means I got more of the Spirit. You don't get any more than the day you got saved. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means He gets more of you. He gets more control of your life. Do you see the analogy in verse 18? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What an unusual analogy. Every time I read that verse, I think, Lord, could You not have used a different analogy than that one? But it's the one He used, so we'll stay with it. He is using the analogy that as when a person drinks alcohol, and that alcohol begins to control their thinking, their speech, their hearing, their walk, everything, as they do so. And He is not advocating drinking alcohol. Now listen to me carefully. There is no abstinence of alcohol in the Bible, or you couldn't take medication without using alcohol as the vehicle. You're done with NyQuil. 22% alcohol NyQuil. Some of you are going to go home and have NyQuil on the rocks this afternoon. I can see it now. But the truth is, He's not saying you can't use alcohol medicinally. Then use no longer water, but a little wine for your stomach. Say, that was a medicinal thing. What He does not advocate is social drinking. Well, that went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic, okay? But let me help you with this for just a moment. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Didn't say how much wine, it just said any. And if you're drunk, listen, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. There's two things about that statement. This has got nothing to do with the message. Some of you looked at me funny, so I have to stop here. But understand what it means. If it takes me 6 cans of beer to get drunk and I drink 1 can of beer, I'm 1/6 drunk and I'm not supposed to be drunk to any degree. He didn't say falling down drunk. He didn't say slobbering drunk. He didn't say roll over and puke your guts out drunk. He said drunk in any way, under any influence or control. Are we clear? And He said there's excess in every bit of wine. Excess. One thing for certain, you show me somebody's got a drinking problem, they get dry, there's one guarantee they'll never drink again. You know what that is? Never touch another drop, because there's excess in that stuff. Are we clear about social drinking now? Are we clear about that? Are we good? Okay, go ahead and nod your head even if you don't like it. But it's the truth. That's what it means. But here's the analogy. The analogy of being filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you stagger around, bark like a dog, cluck like a chicken, wave flags, and have the hallelujah fit. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about as a person would use wine and allow that to control them, so is the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're allowing the Holy Spirit to control you. He doesn't just take over. You allow him to do that. Now, in another lesson, another message down the road, we'll talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about quenching the Holy Spirit. How you stop this working of God in your life. And why in the world do you want to do that? I have no idea. But let's understand what this means this morning on the subject today. Being filled with the Holy Spirit means I seek and allow His control in my life. So what does it mean exactly? First of all, it means it's a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled. Be filled is an imperative statement. It's a command. He's ordered me to do it. He didn't ask me. You say, well, you don't have to be filled. True, you don't have to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But know this, if you're not, you're in grievance of the Word of God. You've not obeyed the Bible. I am just as much as I'm supposed to be a moral person and a decent person and an honest person, as much as I'm to obey the Ten Commandments of God for my daily living and my conduct and my behavior, as much as I'm commanded to do anything else the Bible tells me to do, I am commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If I am not, I'm in disobedience to God. Now here's why. I won't have time to go through all of the verses of it, but look down with me at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Drop down, please, to verse chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Verse 4, servants, be obedient unto them. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about all the major roles in life. Wife, husband, parent, child. And when he talks about servants and masters, he's talking about employers, employees. He's talking about every major role that we'll face in our lives in the context of the command to be filled with the Spirit of God. Do you know why he commanded us to do it? Because you cannot fulfill what you should do in life without the enablement of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's why we fail in our husband-wife roles. That's why we fail in our parenting. That's why we go to work and have bad attitudes. That's why we're bad bosses and don't take care of our employees. That's why we don't fulfill the roles in society and life, because we've got a bunch of Christians who live their lives in the power of their flesh instead of the power of the Holy Spirit. So he commanded us. He said, I command you to be filled with the Spirit. It helps you. It enables you to do what you're supposed to do in life. That means the agency, the working of the Holy Spirit is essential for me to fulfill what God expects of me as a Christian. So I don't want to hear about this stuff of, well, I don't believe in that wife submitting to the husband and this husband loving the wife stuff and all that old antiquated stuff. Look at me. Look at me. Don't you get your junk from Hillary. You understand that? You get it from the Word of God. Don't get your stuff from society and don't get it from ABC, NBC, CBC, BBD, HIV, and all the rest of those guys. Don't you get your stuff from the Hollywood and don't get it from the television. You get it from the Bible. But your ability to do what the Bible tells you to do is in direct relation to your being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. See, look there, would you please? Look back up to chapter 5 again and look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We'll come back to this in a moment in another context, but do you know what it means? Submitting in the Bible means lining up, like in military rank. You're in the military and the drill sergeant, fall in! You're supposed to fall in and line up in perfect rank. That's what submitting one to another means. My ability to line up with what God tells me to do is going to be in direct relation to what the Holy Spirit does in my life if I've allowed Him to control me. So you see why He commanded it? So I can do that stuff without God. No, you can't. No, you can't. You need to seek to allow the Holy Spirit to control you, because He's commanded us to do so. It's a matter of obedience in my life to be filled, and it's a matter of obedience to God's Word if I will fulfill this and allow the Holy Spirit to control me. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Then there's verse 19, 20, and 21. Do you see that? Being filled with the Holy Spirit is also not a command, it's a condition. It says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, being filled with the Holy Spirit means it's a condition in my life. You see, when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God and I allow Him to control me, I'll know the fullness of all that the Christian life will bring. And so will others. You know what's a bad testimony? Huh? Grumpy Christians. Christians who look like they got baptized in grapefruit juice. Some people, honestly, you know, that's why I don't put fish bumper stickers on my car. Or I'm the pastor of Shasta Baptist Church. Or I don't want one of those license plates that says pastor of Shasta Baptist. I don't want one of those. Say, why? You haven't seen me drive. The truth is, our testimony, you know, it's amazing. When you stop to think about it, we think, you know, how come some Christians just seem to be, they have this song in their heart. They seem to have a joy about them. And some Christians look like they're going to heaven, but they look like they're going to hell. They got a long face on them, grouchy all the time, complain about everything. Hey, how many Christians do you know stand around the water cooler at work and gripe about the boss and the job and the work, and they're sick of this and they're tired of that and they don't like this kind of junk? And it says something about thankful and always for all things. And then again, the submission role. Spirit-filled Christian, they have a condition about them that the Spirit of God produces that helps them to have the joy of Christ in their heart. They have a song in their heart. Now, what comes out of their mouth may not sound like a song. It may sound like somebody beating a dog. Remember years ago we had this young man came to our church. God saved him out of a hard life of drugs and crime. And oh, he was so excited about salvation. I mean to tell you, he beamed on Sundays. He just had this look on his face like he was glad he was going to heaven. But he sang, ladies and gentlemen, absolutely the worst I've ever heard in my entire life. Amazing grace! And he sang loud. And I mean loud. Now, folks, look, if you're singing and people turn around and look at you, they're not hoping you have a CD on you. Okay? But he didn't care. It didn't make any difference to him. Tears running down his face, singing flat as a hammer. I mean, it was awful. I mean, I'm up here on the platform and I could hear him rolls back there, people in front of him moving out of the way. It was awful. It was terrible singing. And that folks come up to me after church and say, Pastor, can you tell that guy to just calm down a little bit? Please tell him, don't sing so loud. It hurts. It's so bad. And that kind of thing. And I said, well, then drown him out with your wonderful voice. Better than mumble like a bunch of Methodists. Why don't you sing like a Baptist, for goodness sakes, and drown him out? That might work. Hey, excuse me. Being filled with the Spirit of God is a condition. Huh? Song in your heart. Thankful always. And what does it say again now? Let's see, one more time. That Ephesians 5:19 thing there says, speaking to yourselves in Psalms, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things, unto God and the Father in the name of all things. See, what does that mean, all things, Pastor Johnson? Just what it says. All things. It's a condition. You don't have to work this up. The Spirit of God produces that in you. And then submitting one to another in the fear of God, it means out of respect to God, I do what I'm told. I stand where I'm supposed to stand. I line up the way I'm supposed to line up. Woo! Boy, we got some stiff-necked people nowadays. Have you seen them? We used to call it getting a crick in your neck. Now, for some people, a crick is a water thing that runs down to a field. That's a crick. The other one is that stiff thing in your neck where you can't turn one way or the other without a great deal of pain. We got a lot of Baptists with cricks in their necks. Don't want to turn. Don't want to change. Don't want to do what they're told. Don't want to do all the Bible. Don't want to fulfill the roles. You get filled with the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden it doesn't even have to make sense to you. If that's what the Bible says, you just line up and do it. It's a condition of a Spirit-filled Christian. Hey, all that stuff. And by the way, one more time, not only do you know it, so do other people around you. I still wish I got his name that day. It was back in one of our old buildings. We're in this building project. And we were doing a lot of the work ourselves. And weeks went into months, and months went into, I think, eternity. And I was tired, man. I was toward the end of the project. I was wore out. I went into a paint store to buy some paint in one of the old buildings we had. And it was crack of dawn. I was wore out, exhausted, aggravated, frankly, ready to kill somebody. And there's this man standing there. Now, he had a painting outfit on because he had painter's pants and the suspenders and the shirt and a bow tie on his little shirt. And he had his little stirring sticks in his hand. And he had a little, Walkman type thing that in those days with the earphone. And I could hear, do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me going. He had a blasting. And this guy was as happy as my Okie people would say, is a dead pig in the sunshine. I don't know what a dead pig could be happy about in the sunshine. I have absolutely no idea. You'll have to ask all my Okie people. I don't know what that means. But this man was a happy man at the crack of dawn. And I'm standing there with 2 5-gallon buckets of paint in my hands, thinking if I can just get through this line and get over there and get me some donuts or something, I don't know. I need a charge, God, from the day to day because I'm wore out. I'm tired. And there's this fool over here with the bow tie on and the suspender singing, Do Lord, and letting people go in front of him. Go ahead in front of me, my friend. God bless you today. What a wonderful day today. And he's all excited and happy about his morning. And I'm trying to figure out how I can go by and just drop one of those buckets on his foot and see how happy he was after that. I just couldn't believe it. And I stood. It got convicting after a while. I was convicted. The man, the Spirit of God was working so mightily in this guy's life that it was convicting to another Christian who stood there who was grouchy about having a job to go to, a church to work on, God's blessings in his life, and just because I was tired, it didn't work out too good for me. You know, I got news for you. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not related to your emotional standing. Well, how tired you are, how long the day's been, how much time you've had, how much trouble you've got, who's seeing you, who's not, who knows, who doesn't, what God's going, it has no relation to that whatsoever. You're filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says you have a song in your heart. You're thankful for everything. And you can shut up and do what you're told. Condition of the Holy Spirit. One more thing is being filled with the Holy Spirit means the Holy Spirit is a completer in your life. You know what the word filled here means in Ephesians 5:18? Here's what it means. It means to fill up what's lacking. It means to complete what's missing. It means to fill in a void. It means to finish what's been started. See, the Christian life for some people lacks some things for them. That's why this new stuff always comes along, and Christians get all infatuated with it. And it is. There's something all that. In 35 years of ministry, ladies and gentlemen, there have been more new stuff come down the pipe that's not new. It's the same old carnal junk. But people get infatuated with that. Oh, they get caught up in this thing and that thing and everything else. Because you know why? Look at me. Going to church, singing hymns, listening to preaching, go home and do right by your family and honor God with your life. For some Christians, that's kind of boring. That doesn't make them tingle. So we got to go to church and get the sloppy, agape, BB spitting, barking like a dog, flag waving kind of circus Christianity going because it gets them excited about stuff. Instead of just, I'm sorry, but I kind of enjoyed singing the hymns this morning. I thought that was a blessing. I enjoyed when the choir sang this morning. I enjoyed opening up the King James Bible and reading it. You know, I've been doing that now for 35 years and I haven't got tired of it yet. Do you know why? Because the filling of the Holy Spirit completes what's lacking and we see lacks in our Christian life. It's the working of the Holy Spirit that finishes that up. It literally, the word filling means to fill the net with fish. Cram them in there. Leave no room for nothing else. See, you don't need us to come up with something new. You need to get a hold of the Holy Spirit of God and let Him control you in your life. And when He fills you, He'll fill up all the voids that are there. He'll fill all the empty places. He'll bring everything out. Hey, you know what? You won't have to get excited about something. You'll be excited because the Spirit of God's working in you. And let me tell you something. He was there waiting for you this morning inside your heart. When you woke up today and you opened your eyes and you either thought, here it is, Sunday morning, you either thought, do I have to go to church today? Or you thought, I get to go to church today. Spirit-filled Christian says, I'm going to go get something from the Word of God in my life. See some of the brethren. Be good for you, some of you folks, to do that. Quit popping in and popping out and showing up here like it's some kind of performance. Get involved around here. You'll be amazed how much of a difference it'll make in your life. That's free. It's got nothing to do with the filling of the Holy Spirit, but I want to put that in there. And you'll be amazed how much that works. It'd be incredible, absolutely incredible to you how all of a sudden I don't have to bark like a dog, cluck like a chicken, and read off all the Toyotas and all the Japanese automobiles in order to get happy in God. I've got the Spirit of God controlling me. He fills me. He fills me and completes me in my life. He's a completer. The Christian life for some lacks something, but what's lacking is the Spirit of God's control in their life. That's what's lacking. And we don't have to manufacture that. You can get that by just yielding to God. And you'll find the Christian life is sufficient. It's enough. And more than that, it fills up all the empty spots. Well, there's a lot of things missing about my past, Pastor Johnson, that I wish wish were there. Okay, now look at me. You're going to sit around and bemoan your lost past for how long now? You know how much time people waste? Look at me. You know how much time people waste today in their life grieving over something they can never have? Well, I never really had a good childhood in my life. And you're 40. Excuse me, it's too late. That's gone now. Are we clear? And I know it doesn't sound psychologically adaptive, or I'm probably not putting the salve and rubbing salt in the wound, but you know, you need to get over that thing because you're 40. So what do you do about parts of your life that are lost? Be filled with the Spirit of God. He'll fill all the voids. All the voids. I'm sorry that some of you didn't have a good childhood. I'm sorry that it didn't go well with your families. I'm sorry it didn't go well in your life as you grew up. I'm sorry you didn't get a red bike when you were 14. I'm sorry. Well, they don't get that anymore. Now they get a trip to Hawaii, an iPad, an iPod, and I don't care. They get all the rest of the stuff. I'm sorry. I'm sorry all that stuff didn't come your way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that there's something lacking. I'm sorry that you married that guy thinking he would never change and he won't. I'm sorry you married her and hoped she would never change, and she did. I'm sorry you had that kid when he's growing up was so wonderful and turned into a 13-year-old and you go, who's this kid? You looked across the dinner table at him and you went, who are you, and give me my kid back. I'm sorry. I'm sorry your job's not always as fulfilling as you would hope it'd be. First of all, if you got a job, shut up. Okay? Just shut up about it. You got a job. Just be quiet. But don't you understand? We think all these external things are going to be, if we could just fix them, we'd be all. No. You'd be filled with the Spirit of God. Allow Him to control you. He'll complete all that lacks that's there. That's what He does. He's a completer. So how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? In obedience to that book, yielded to His direction, I'll be filled with the Spirit of God. It's in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. While some will make a big deal out of the tongues that they spoke, and we'll get to that in the gifts and things. While there's something make a big deal out of the tongues, it's the first time the Bible said people were filled with the Spirit of God. What's more important than the tongues they spoke is this. They were told to tarry in an upper room in Jerusalem until the Spirit of God came upon them. They tarried, they prayed, and the Bible said, while they were with one accord in one place, the Spirit of God came upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Because of, look at me, obedience to God and yieldedness to what the Lord told them to do, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Well, I did it once. No, not once. You do it every day of your life. Every day you get up and find out what it is God wants you to do and follow what you know it is God wants you to do from that book right there. Look at me. And as you do so, you allow the Holy Spirit to control you, and He will fill your life. He'll fill you, my friend. He'll fill you to overflowing. He'll cram all the fish in the net. He'll fill up all the voids. He'll take everything that's not there and put it in, and He'll make your life full and rich, and He'll control you, and there'll be a condition that'll put a song in your heart and thankfulness in your spirit and yieldedness to what God wants you to be and do. Comes from the filling of the Holy Spirit, which comes from obedience to God's Word, which comes from yieldedness to the Spirit's direction in your life. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.